Hello, everyone. Welcome to another episode of Founders Grit, sponsored by Gayford.io. I am Zen, and today we have Glenn Reed, the CFO of IntelliShift, with us. Hello, and welcome to the show, Glenn.
Hi, how are you? Good to be with you today.
I'm good. I'm perfect. Well, Glenn, how about you start off with sharing a brief background of yourself and your work experience?
Sure. I've got plenty of it, as I've been just celebrated and posted on LinkedIn my 39th year working. So I'm going to spend the rest of the time proving that I'm not an old guy who should be put out to pasture, but somebody who's truly excited about what's happening in the world and the technology that just surrounds us every day. Classic background, started in public accounting, Ernst & Whinney at the time when there was the Big Eight, and we all went to our office and we all wore our three-piece suits and people smoked cigars and cigarettes in the office. And it was just a truly different time, literally about 2 years before computers started coming into the workplace in the form of laptops or portables. Kind of fast forward, I've also been at a company called 800 Flowers that I'm sure you know, about 10 years there. And they grew from one of the fastest companies growing, doubling every year, and really being part of what Jim and Chris McCann put together there and being exciting as both the computers and then this new thing called the internet came into the world. You could actually start selling stuff online. From there, I had the bug to try a .com for a bit, figure why not make a quick $1 million in a few months. And unfortunately, that didn't turn out as most things when the bubble burst. But it gave me a chance then to join what at the time was called an ASP, a company called CorrectNet, which we now refer to as the cloud computing, which is kind of, you know, everywhere. So it's not thought of as it was back then, as this kind of, you know, where is the cloud? Whose cloud is it? How does the cloud work? From there, then where I am today, having done some consulting along the way, which I'm also happy to share in the context of the work from home. I've been at a company called IntelliShift for the past 6 years, and we're involved in the telematics space, which is servicing a B2B clientele, any business that has a fleet of vehicles. We provide data analytics, information, and connectivity so they can get a rich feed of information from their vehicles, where they are, what they're doing, their maintenance, their safety. And now this year, we introduced a video product, which is just adding that whole new dimension of information that is usable and provides true ROI to a business enterprise.
Very interesting, very interesting. So from this, I get you had like a love-hate relationship with remote work. Am I correct?
You know, I don't know if love is too strong and hate is too strong, but I definitely have a relationship with work from home, and that it's something that, you know, kind of it may be one of the only things positive to come out of COVID, is that the challenge with work from home over the years, and I've done it for a number of years. I was a consultant in between certain of my jobs. I had the opportunity to work from home, and you know, how do you compete in a work from home against a big environment, a big company? And it really came down to the advent of certain technologies. And I think what came out of COVID was forcing everyone to really use a lot of the technologies that had been in some cases very slow to adopt. You know, we saw in the tech world, Slack caught on, but Teams was really going nowhere, the Microsoft product. But, you know, once everyone realized in the work from home world that there was a product called Teams and it was free and it was included and it was the best way, in some cases, one of the few ways to communicate, it opened up a world of change that people, as I've seen this over the years, were very reluctant to move forward on because the old way worked. I could go talk to somebody. I could go down the hall to the office. I could see them in the lunchroom. And that, you know, after 5 o'clock or 6 o'clock, whenever you went home, I really didn't need to see them anymore. So that's something that I think in the love hate, you know, you have to look at it both ways to say it truly has changed everything in terms of how we work together, how we work when we're apart, but also, you know, giving us opportunities to work in ways that we can still get our work done, but it doesn't necessarily fit in that nice, neat box of 9 to 5 or 8 to 5 or 9 to 6 or whatever your hours are.
True. I agree with you, but you're still there in your snappy suit looking handsome. So I guess you won there, right?
So it's a mix. And I think I was just reading the journal had an article on the new workplace last week, and there's been so many of them, but I've really evolved to the hybrid role model, which is some days I'll be in here and I'll have a jacket on. I think the key is not that I've got a jacket, but I've got pants and shoes. And some days I'll be home with shorts and my, you know, my bean mocks, because that's what I'm comfortable and that's what's appropriate. And I think, and what I've seen, you know, I'm in the finance world, and for the finance team, there are days when you want to be around everyone and you're talking, interacting. There are other days you want to be home and have quiet time. I have three boys that you have camera access, so you can see they're in the background photos. But my sons, one of them is a developer. He works at Amazon, and he's more than happy to stay home all the time and work, because he needs quiet time and concentration. You know, here at our company, when COVID broke out, and we all went to work for remote, one of the interesting things that happened with our development team is that some of them actually moved out of state, and that's creating an interesting dynamic in that they moved from Long Island, which has, you know, where I am, which has, you know, plenty of beaches and shores, but a lot of high property and other taxes, to North Carolina, that's got beaches and shores without all the property and high taxes. And you know what? Their work productivity hasn't changed at all. In some cases, it's gone up, because they're in a more comfortable environment, worried less about things that are outside of work, so that their workday is productive. So I'm a fan. Mark me down for the hybrid model, in that it's a mixed blend back and forth. It keeps it interesting for me. You know, but clearly not everyone can do that. If you're a manufacturing role, you need to be in the office because that's where the machines are. I understand and I get it. And if you're a pure developer where you can be home all the time, I get that too. But I think for a lot of folks, and I think that's going to be part of the challenge, is, you know, it's not the new normal, but what's the new balance? What is it that works for your company, for you, for your family, for your home and personal life? And you know, really what we're all seeing is that once again, the boundaries are expanding, the rules are changing. Technology is always is coming in and making what you couldn't do things that you now can do. So it's quite an interesting time.
True, very true. I actually have this in common with your son. I love working from home. However, I think that the hybrid model is here to stay. What do you think? Do you say, what's the future of remote employment?
Yeah, so as I said, you know, putting out the highs and the lows for some jobs that are just always going to have to be, you know, that manufacturer, the guy going to the Tesla plant to work in the Tesla, he's got to be in the factory. And, you know, I'm going to put developers in the camp that I think developers really can permanently work at home and just, you know, collaborate as they've been doing for years and years on the just more tools and chat boards and project. But it's the in-between where I think we really are figuring out, what does hybrid mean? Does hybrid mean once a month, once a week, you know, as many times a week as you want? And I think we're seeing that, you know, most prominently with the banking community in New York, where they're saying, you know, if you want to get paid a New York salary, some of the banks say, then you've got to come to New York and work here. And others are saying, well, let's stay home and see how that works out. And then, of course, you know, with the Delta variant, the changing, you know, when is it possible even to pursue all in or not all in? And it's, you know, I've seen it move, as I'm sure you have too. It's September, October. Now there are some companies talking about January. So I think, as I said, that a balance will work out. But, you know, my money and my hope is on this hybrid model, because I think it just evokes satisfaction as a term. You know, I'm avoiding using the word happiness, because that sometimes gets blurred as to, you know, what is it, you know, you're here to work, not to be happy. And I don't want to say it's one or the other, but I think satisfaction is that feeling that one gets from, you know, what you want to do, you're able to do. And I see that sense of satisfaction coming from, you know, when I need to be in the office for whatever it is, if it's a bunch of folks from out of town coming together, or it's a project that we're not sure who or what's going to be involved, so we'll get everyone together, that we do that. And that works for me. And I suspect everything I'm saying, there's a group of people, and perhaps a large group, that can say, yeah, we can do all that remote, and that's how we choose to do that. So I think it's going to be something that evolves over time. The tools, as I've mentioned, I keep mentioning that because I think it's so important. I'm sitting here right now, I'm surrounded by, I've got three monitors around me. I've got two 40-inch TV screens up above. I've got my iPhone, I've got my iPad, I've got my Apple Watch. So there's plenty of ways to be connected to everything, but it's, you know, how do you manage it? How do you effectively manage it? But as I started earlier, it's, is the ecosystem that you're working in supportive of all those tools? Because to, you know, imagine all these tools without the internet, they'd be just, you know, bricks sitting here, but the internet connects me and the tools that support the internet connect all those people. So I am truly able to do things, and others are too, that they couldn't have done as early as, you know, a year ago, but now it's just happening. It's happening productively. And, you know, I really see that as the key to the future, is what's the continued adoption. It's 5G coming out is speeding up so many more things that it's not the latency or the lag time. You know, every year, as I'm reminded, more and more graduates come out of our universities and our primary school systems with just, well, this is the way it is. And so they're not saying I'm changing to this. They're saying, this is how I work. This is how I'm comfortable. So it's like all things, you know, I start off talking about the 3-piece suit, and that went to the 2-piece suit, and then no suit, and then back to suits. And now it's sport jackets. You know, things keep evolving, and that, you know, the one certainty is change. And it's, you know, stay with the change or get rolled over by it.
Well, I absolutely agree with your answer. I absolutely do. But the technology, I think it has evolved so much. Like at Gaper, for example, we have been remote since our existence. And most of us haven't even seen each other. We have never met. We don't even know where the other one is, right? So I absolutely love that about remote work. But yes, I completely understand where you're coming from. Okay, so All right, I'm sorry to cut you off.
Yeah, no worries. I'm just going to say it's funny. I've heard a couple situations now where people do have that chance after an extended time to get together, and they're surprised, you know, how short, how tall people are when they actually see them, because, you know, it's just an interesting dynamic. Are you at a stand-up desk? Are you sitting down? Are you at a big chair, a small chair? So it kind of becomes funny when you do actually finally have that physical interaction. You know, you bring your perceptions and reality together. It's an interesting merge.
Completely understandable. All right, Glenn, moving towards our last question. So there are companies like Gaper that help develop, build, and scale products, especially for startups. How important do you think such setups are in the startup world and for founders looking to hire smart?
Yeah, I love the idea. And I mentioned earlier that I was a consultant for a bit of time, and my consultancy was as a virtual CFO. So it was a similar concept of you can't afford to hire enough people full-time to do what you want, or you don't need them all full-time. Or particularly now, the job market is just so hot that to find the right people is often very difficult, even without the restrictions of geography. So I've seen a number of years companies like Gaper, and I think it's a wonderful idea. The challenge always is that someone in the company needs to know what they want to know if they're getting it from the resource. And I've seen plenty of opportunities where there's a loss of the opportunity because you bring in a firm like yours, or I work with a company in Pittsburgh called OpenArc, which is a similar situation from what I've gathered about Gaper, where, you know, you're bringing in a team of folks to come in, do a job, take it on, and move forward. What I was interested to see as I explored a bit about Gaper was that you can actually hire the team leader as well as the whole team. And I think that's just so important to bring in resources which provide you leverage, but then not to lose that leverage because, you know, I use the analogy of spokes on a wheel. The wheel works because all the spokes connect to the outer rim, and as it turns, they're all doing their job. But any single spoke is not enough to support the whole wheel. So that idea of having this collaborated effort, I think, is so important. Because if not, just like a bad SEO project, you'll burn money incredibly fast before you realize what happens. So I think the Gaper approach, if I'm reading it correctly, of bringing in a team with a team leader, if you want, if you don't have one available, provides that ability to leverage and propel forward. And, you know, right, it's really all about the speed plays a critical involvement in all solutions. It's speed of the ideas, speed of the implementation, speed of the realization, and then speed of that next iteration to improve it. So it seems like Gaper and others like that are providing the ability to have speed, which then doesn't slow down in the design or implementation of any of these great ideas that folks keen to be coming out with at record speed these days.
Well, thank you so much, Glenn. I absolutely hate ending the podcast, but You know, we have to. It was an absolute pleasure having you here today. I absolutely love talking to you. Thank you for coming to our show, Glenn.
Of course. It's my pleasure. And have a great day wherever in the world you are, wherever you choose to be. It's, I'm sure it'll be a productive time.
Thank you so much. Have a great week ahead.
Thank you. Bye.